We are the nation's number one talk station, 99.3 Nigeria Info. Good morning to you, Lagos, Nigeria. It's 5 minutes past the hour. We'll bid you welcome to the last 1 hour of the show this morning. It's called The Morning Crossfire. You can watch us live right now on Facebook and on YouTube. Nigeria Info 99.3 is how you can join us on those two platforms. Nigeria Info 99.3. So we're going to start with our conversation on LPG gas, the cooking gas. Because there's a lot going on in that subsector, in that space. And we'll have that conversation very briefly before the half hour mark. We should get to some really reasonable point in that conversation. At the other side of the hour, we'll be talking about ASUU strike. We have some really lovely advocates who wants students back in school to join us at a time. But right now, let me quickly get into the conversation at this point. I have joining us this morning, Mr. Nuhu Yakubu is a member of the Governing Council and the current president of the Nigeria Liquefied Petroleum Gas Association, NLPGA. He's also the founder and group managing director of one of the largest LPG distribution companies in Nigeria, Banner Energy Limited, with over 20 years of industry experience in the energy and power sector. Mr. Nuhu Yakubu is a prominent figure cutting across the energy sector, upstream, downstream, as well as the in the power sector of Nigeria. We'll be speaking with him on the gas situation in Nigeria. Mr. Nuhu Yakubu, a very lovely morning to you. Thank you for joining us on the program this morning.
Good morning, Nigeria Info. Pleased to be here. And good morning to Nigeria.
Let's get started. Let's talk about the situation with LPG in Nigeria. The price seemed to be going higher and higher and higher. Could you please inform Nigeria what's really happening? Every day I get complaints on this program as to the price. I mean, it's not coming down, Mr. Nuhu.
Yes, I know. I know. It's a topical subject matter on the lips of every Nigerian today. Why price of gas is on the upward rise, but unfortunately, the pricing is tied to the rise or the drop in the value of the naira as against the international trading currencies like the dollar. So whenever you see the price of the naira exchange rate is dropping, you see it affects internationally traded commodities, which includes gas. All right. And also, I'd be interested to know too that there are quite a number of nefarious activities you find there are some extortionist activities at some of the loading facilities where you have all sorts of touting arrangements where organizations that are not in any way related to the LPG value chain just mount roadblocks and just collect money from operators. So these are some of the challenges we are facing. And I hope with the kind of efforts we're putting in, Nigerians should smile soon, with the efforts we're putting in collaboration with government.
Let's talk about those efforts and the smiling soon part. Because Mr. Nuhu, you and I know we flare gas quite a bit in this part of the world. From someone who is an active player in that sector, is there something you can tell us? Is there anything in the pipeline? I know there is a plan, the gas master plan or something like that. Where are we on that plan? And is there any other program, any other plan going on in making sure that we reduce the rate at which we flare gas in Nigeria?
Yes, interestingly, there's a gas flare down commercialization program which is being promoted by the federal government of Nigeria under the auspices of the Federal Ministry of Petroleum Resources and the Department of Petroleum Resources, or as you have it today, NNDPR, the downstream regulatory agency, as it is now called. The gas flare down commercialization program has gone quite far.
Okay.
Assets have been awarded, or they're in the verge of being awarded now. So that you see, a lot of those flare sites will be flared down. Some of those flares will be captured for beneficial uses, which will include stripping them up to produce LPG for Nigerians. We want to begin to see midstream operations where we can see other sources of LPG getting freed up to supply the market, so that it's not exactly it's not all the differences associated with the pricing, international pricing, will not be so impactful on the local market.
Indeed. Studio here. I want to sincerely apologize to our second guest who has been waiting. I have joining us via Zoom this morning, Abiodun Bayewu of the Global Right on Asu Strike Abuja. She joins us virtually this morning. Abiodun, good morning to you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you for waiting.
Good morning. Thank you for having me.
It's good to have you here. Finally, let's talk Asu Strike. First and foremost, what's the position of your organization on Asu Strike? Tell us about that before we now dig deeper.
Well, thank you. I think this should be the position of most Nigerians, which is that the right to education is a human right. It's a right to development, not just of the individual, but of the nation itself. And when a nation takes for granted the education of its citizens, we have the type of nation that we have ended up having. Nigeria has the most number of out-of-school children in the world, and now its tertiary education is being affected as well. That's a very dangerous thing, not just for national security, for the country's civic space, for the country's human resource, but also the future of the country is just at stake at this point in time.
I mean, it's if you when you put it that way, it doesn't look really well. You coordinate the global rights and programs, and specifically, you work on access to justice. You work on access to human rights, among other programs, in your Abuja office, and you also know that millions, like you have said, millions of Nigerian students are currently at home. Add to that the out of school children you mentioned. And I'm quite sure that you'll also be, you've been following up on the conversation in that space. ASU, federal government, NASU, SANU, I mean, virtually all our tertiary institutions right now, their unions on one form of strike or another. Are you hopeful that we would get this resolved before the election? If not, what are your plans?
I think that's what we're all afraid of, that this will not be resolved before the elections. Currently, we have at least 1.8 million, over 1.8, almost 1 million young people out of school.
99.3.
The total number of students in Nigeria, only about 100,000 students are in private universities. So that gives you about almost 1.7 million children at home, not children, young adults at home. At various stages of their education. So a lot of people think of just undergraduates, but you've got postgraduates, you've got PhD students as well, all caught up in this, and people in multiple ways. So if you think about it, they've been on strike since February, and this is not the first strike. The first strike had actually started in 2017 under President Buhari's administration, and the government isn't showing any commitment to solving this problem. Now, most of this problem are fiscal in nature, but gradually, in spite of everything the president has said about increasing the budget or doubling the budget for education, they've actually halved the budget for education. We went from about 7.9% of our budget for education in 2016, and currently for 2022, we're at 4.3% of our budget. That's not a country that is thinking about its future in terms of education or the quality of education that we're providing.
I want to drill down more on the renegotiation going on of the 2009 agreement. What do you think would be the best deal ASU or federal government can reach right now, at least to just get the student back into the classroom? What could be the best deal for you?
You know, we keep, as Nigerians, we keep looking for the low-hanging fruits. We keep looking for short stops.
Yeah.
Short stops will not resolve our problems at this material point in time. I think that the best thing, first of all, is for the federal government to stick to the agreement with ASU. They agreed in the first place. And that agreement was actually at a minimum. Now, ASUU had asked at that point in time for 1.3 trillion. And then we've gone down to 200 billion. And yet still, we're still not fulfilling what was promised. And it's not just about wages. It's about the quality of the education that these children receive.
That's right.
So I think that as a country who will show any form of seriousness about the future of its human power, should stick to its own agreement, should stick to what it has promised itself. Mm. It's what we promised ourselves as a country, not what was promised to ASUU, a foreign body. ASUU is not a foreign body, and I'm not a member of ASUU.
Okay, I was going to ask that. Like, okay, so people would be wondering, like, you have this driving you to just focus on at this point ASUU strike, on ending ASUU strike at all costs. But you said no election, no ASUU. Is that correct? Please, no election, no. What's that? No school, no election. Is that correct?
No election, no school, no election.
What does that mean, Abiodun? What does that mean?
That is correct. I think that we've got misplaced priorities as Nigerians. That means that our political class has completely forgotten what its responsibilities are, which is the welfare and the security of all citizens, and is chasing after the clout of power. All that Nigeria wants to talk about, or rather the government of Nigeria wants to talk about right now, is elections. They've abdicated office, the president has abdicated office, the ministers have abdicated office, and are rigmaroling around the state, seeking votes, and you've seen everything that's played out in the past 1 month. Meanwhile, we've got children and adults who have been at home since February, mid-February, February 14th to be precise, and are not in school. Their futures are on hold. They're frozen. Now, this is what is likely to happen if we as citizens allow it. What is likely to happen is we will not revisit this ASUU issue until after elections. Now, after elections means that this government is just waiting to hand over to the next administration, and then the next administration probably will not start negotiating until about June next year, which is about a year from now. Now, from June next year, they're going to say, we can reach that agreement with you. We have to start negotiating all over again.
All over again.
Now, I don't know how much longer we want to play Russian roulette with the future of our young people.
Hmm.
It's most unfair. It's just unfair.
Hmm.
And it is criminalizing poverty. Because if most people had a choice, they would put their children in private universities or send them out of the country to school in other countries, which is also very unfortunate if we do not have an educational system that can cater for our own. So yes, it's a big shame, and we really shouldn't allow it. Don't prioritize elections above education.
Mm.
It is not more important.
What do you intend to do? How do you intend to carry out advocacy that you have put forward now? No school, no election.
So first we're talking to students, and this is the general sentiments that students have expressed, that their future is coming second place to elections, and so that's what they're advocating, that look, if we can't go back to school, we really shouldn't have elections. Now there are town halls, we're organizing town halls on social media, and also physically civil society, organizing civil society as well, to say, how do we support students at this point in time? Now, federal government, ASUU, that's not our problem. Our problem is almost 2 million people who are out, whose futures have been frozen because we're too busy with other priorities. We're busy increasing budgets for everything except our education, where we keep slashing. So this is a conversation we've started, and civil society is no longer going to stand back and allow these young people to just continue to protest on their own unheard. We're going to amplify their voices. This has become very critical.
I
hope the media will join in doing this.
I am glad that you said that you're joining, because I've seen the students, you know, protest on the streets, on major highways, and the rest of them. But Biodun, you and I think we can agree that a lot needs to be done in solving the problem in our education system, simply because the students alone, like you have alluded to right now, you know, can't solve much. I mean, that's probably the best they can do to protest on the road. The civil society, on the other hand, it's almost like, again, like you've mentioned, everybody's attention is now focused on elections. Please, I want us to look at the risks that the attending consequences of what we have right now. What are those risks that we stand to inherit from prolonged ASU strike or prolonged or having people out of school, children that are supposed to be in school? What are those risks that we stand to inherit from it?
First of all, we're engendering poverty. Now, people have had their futures frozen, and there's a good chance that a good chunk of those whose education has been frozen may never return to school. The attention span of their sponsors is also limited, that the bandwidth by which sponsors, parents, relatives that sponsor people to school are going to continue to sponsor adults is very limited. So when you've spent 6 years on a four-year course, six calendar years, not six academic years, on a four academic year course, 6 years, how do you also explain that to the rest of the world? We're competing in a global village today. It also reduces the quality, it diminishes the quality of education people receive. So when you do school for 8 months, you take a 6 months break, and then you come back and you take another 4 months break, the quality of the education is diminished. It also begins to affect our national security. Now, children are home, young people are home, and it's harder for parents to feed them. The sense of frustration across the country has increased dramatically, and this strike is adding to it. There are flashes of violence everywhere, a combusting, and young people are at the helm of this. And if you check carefully, you'll find some of them are simply people who now have nothing to do, or also ongoing poverty. Now, there are also students who really don't have anywhere to go during school breaks and are caught up in this as well when they're away from school. They're the economies that also depend on universities. That feed other economies, those who sell books, those who sell food, those are also caught up in this mess. Now, we are also talking about a public health pandemic in the offing. We're talking an increase in sexual violence, in domestic violence, an increase in unwanted pregnancies because children are not, or young adults are not in school. We're also talking then about a country that cannot guarantee its, the ebb and the flows of its human resource. If we know every 9 months we are churning out fresh graduates, then we know every 9 months we're churning out fresh graduates, or every one calendar year. But right now we don't know. You've got schools who have three sets of part one students and final year students. I have an intern who's been here for a year. He finally left in January, only to be back in February. And the joke amongst us is more of a full-time staff with on study leave once in a while than he is of, as a student. And so you've got all of these issues going on. You've got parents who have to then continue to support adults for longer than they can't abdicate the duties of parenting when they should. They should begin to plan for their own future. But then they have young adults, 27, 28, 29, still as undergraduates in their homes, because our country cannot get education right. And it's really unfair. It's a burden that goes around and actually affects everyone when we deeply think about it, and not just a few people. Let me also tell you one more thing that's happening in Nigeria that we're not cognizant of. It's that we're eroding public education. And eroding public education is not just, it does a lot of things to us. It removes the middle class. So you will eternally remain poor, or you're going to stay rich. It also reduces the way in which we perceive ourselves as human beings. So if you went to a public school where the quality of education was good, you would have the children of the rich and the poor in the same place.
Right.
They will understand each other's lifestyle. We will understand our cultures. We'll understand our pains. And we'll grow up in that way, understanding one another. That strengthens our civic space.
But in the instance where the children of the rich, and we have grades of school depending on how rich you are, so you only get to interact with children of your parents' caliber, and you live in a very deluded world of what the world is, and of course that people just don't get to transact. We're creating an apartheid as a consequence of not having a public education system, apart from totally removing a middle class. So we really need to have a conversation as a nation and a people on what our educational strategy is. We must be forward thinking. We must think ahead. What is the next 50 years for Nigeria and its human resource? What's the next 100 years for Nigeria and its human resource? And not just, oh, let's ask them just call off the strike and then, you know, renegotiate. We can't keep doing this.
Abiodun, I must find a way to get you back on the program because time really is not our friend today. But I must say thank you for joining us today on the Crossfire. Abiodun Bayo is the coordinator of the Global Rights on Asis Strike Abuja. She joined us this morning. So thank you again for coming, Abiodun.
Thank you so much for having me.
Lagos, that's the much we can take on the Crossfire today. But before we go, Isoke is here. Isoke also went to school here, although she went to private university. So she may not be that affected by ASUU strike. But Isoke, you heard about ASUU strike, right?
Yes, even while you're in school. Yeah, I actually have a few friends who are currently affected by the strike.
Yeah.
So, I mean, the first thing I thought about doing was just like, okay, maybe we could just go somewhere nice, get your mind off things. Mm. And then I heard that Buka Hut is doing this launch at Ikorodu.
Tell me about it.
Okay, so really, there's this